But then I think about the people in Scripture who experienced stress and anxiety and worry. David didn't have access to Zoloft. Jesus didn't have a life coach to go to. From Genesis to Revelation, we find the same answer. And that answer is found in Scripture. Scriptures like Psalm 56. If you'll look on the back of your bulletins or open those pretty new Pew Bibles, whichever you prefer, to Psalm 56. Look at what David writes here. Be gracious to me, O God, for people trample on me. All day long, foes oppress me. You ever felt like that? That everybody is out to get you? Or that life is beaten up on you? And people are saying things about you or doing things to you? For many fight against me. Oh, Most High, when I am afraid, I put my trust in you. In God, whose word I praise, in God I trust, I am not afraid. What can flesh do to me? And then he goes on. In Scripture, God says over 100 times, do not be afraid. You can count them if you want to. Every time God says, do not be afraid or fear not. Jesus mentions the great commandment only 8 times in the Gospels, but he tells his disciples not to be afraid 25 times. Must be something to this, do not be afraid stuff, right? And Scripture gives us many reasons that we should not be afraid as people of God. Isaiah 41:10 says, do not fear. This is God speaking through the prophet. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be afraid, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my victorious right hand. That's a promise, folks, from God. From God's heart to your ears. God does not say that we won't experience trouble in this life. God doesn't promise a rose garden. God does not promise us a trouble-free, worry-free, stress-free life. But what he does promise is to be with us. Consider Isaiah 43:6. You might want to write these scriptures down too, by the way. When you pass through the waters, I remember the song you just sang. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep you away. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. He didn't say if. He said when. It's going to come. I don't know if anybody here has never gone through a fiery trial or if you've never been swept away by circumstances or swept away like a river rushing over you. God bless you if you haven't. But it will happen if it hasn't already. Because you see, God is closer to us than the air that we breathe. Think of God's grace, God's presence as the air that you breathe. Because frankly, we cannot live without air, just like we cannot live without God's grace. And David took great comfort in this. Many of the Psalms were written by David in times of high stress. If you back up one psalm in Psalm 55, it says, my heart is in anguish within me. Have you ever been there? The terrors of death have fallen upon me. Fear and trembling come upon me, and the horror overwhelms me. But he ends the same psalm with, cast your burden on the Lord, and he will sustain you. David knew of what he spoke, for you see, David was running from King Saul about the time this was written. Saul was after him to kill him because he was a threat to his kingdom. He had been a successful military man. Saul had gone nuts, gone crazy, and was chasing David all over the country. David was hiding out in caves and woods and deserts to get away from him, to avoid him. He even goes to live with the Philistines. David and the Philistines, remember the Philistines? They hated David. They'd killed their hero. He had killed their hero many years before. So David had to act like a crazy person while in Gaza, in the Philistia, so that they would leave him alone because they thought he was nuts. But he really wasn't. He was threatened by King David. King Saul. And yet he writes psalms like Psalm 56. This picture that we see every Sunday when we come in here, where is that taken? The Garden of Gethsemane. Do you know what's going on there? Jesus is about to be betrayed, arrested, and crucified. And he pours out his heart to God, his heavenly Father, crying tears of blood. He's in such anguish. Talk about stress. Talk about anxiety. There it is. Knowing what he faces. And yet Jesus can say, "Yet not my will, but thine be done." And he trusts in his heavenly Father. He trusts that God will be with him through what is about to happen, through the beatings, through the scourging, through the crucifixion, through the nails, through the sword, through the death on an old rugged cross. The Apostle Paul knew something about anxiety and stress. He wrote the Epistle of Joy, it's called, Philippians. Paul writes this letter from a prison cell, facing a death sentence. Eventually, Paul would be executed in Rome. And yet, he can write words like this. Philippians 4, 5 and 6. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. It is amazing sometimes when we're stressed out, when I'm stressed out, when I'm worried about something, and all I've got to say is, "Help me, Jesus. Help me, Lord, through this or that. Deliver me, save me, strengthen me through this." And 9 times out of 10, there is a peace that washes over me because I've cried out to the Lord in faith. Cried out to Him. Does it go away? Does the problem go away? Not necessarily, but God's touched my heart in a certain way and I can endure. You know how I handle fear, anxiety, and worry? I journal. I write in a journal just about every night. And recently I've been doing something that I just learned about. And it's been very helpful to kind of finish the day. I write 3 things that went well that day. 3 things. Not went badly, but went well. Call it positive thinking, whatever you want to call it. It works for me. Try it sometime. At the end of the day, before you doze off, before you go to bed, write 3 things that went well, and then write why they went well. It's a great way to finish the day thinking positive thoughts and giving God the worries and cares of the day. When Pat and I, before we drift off to sleep, we hold hands and we pray for and with one another. A couple that prays together. Thank you. You've heard that before. A couple that prays together stays together. Singing. I love singing on my walks through the development or in my room when I'm doing my walking in place. Singing praise choruses. This is the day. This is the day. And other praise choruses to get my mind off my worries and my concerns. And I have a little reminder in my wallet that I picked up several years ago. As a reminder, you know those little things, little snippets that you pick up. It says, "Nothing is ever as good or bad as you think it is." Think about that. Nothing is ever as good or as bad as you think it is. I'd like for you to open your hymnals, because I want you to look at our closing song today, which we're going to sing in just a few moments. I want you to look at the words of "How Firm a Foundation." Number 529. While you're looking that up, you might like to know that this hymn was sung at 2 presidents' funerals. This hymn was sung by various presidents going through adversity and difficulties in their presidencies. It has also been sung by troops marching into battle in World War I. Look at the words. The opening verse is the writer, or perhaps any of us, it could be any of us, the songwriter saying, "How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he hath already said? You who unto Jesus for refuge have fled." And then the remaining four verses is God's response. "Fear not, I am with thee. Oh, be not dismayed, for I am thy God and will still give thee aid. I'll strengthen and help thee and cause thee to stand, upheld by my righteous omnipotent hand." Isaiah 41:10 right there. And then he talks about being with us through the deep waters and the rivers. And then he talks about the fiery trials in verse 4. "My grace sufficient shall supply. The flames shall not hurt thee. I only design thy dross to consume." That is, the impurities in gold are burned away so that the gold can be pure. The dross of our lives will be consumed so that we are God's gold refined. And then the last verse says it all. "Thy soul that on Jesus has leaned for repose, I will not desert to its foes. That soul, though all hell should endeavor to shake, I'll never forsake." Remember that last line. "I'll never leave you or forsake you." That is God's promise to us every day. Would you bow our heads in prayer, please, as we close? I invite this prayer to be your prayer today. And if you feel so inclined to just whisper these words under your breath as you pray them with me. God, I trust in you. Help me not to be afraid. I trust that you are with me always. I trust that you will sustain me. I trust that you'll bring good from evil. I trust you with my family, with my health, with my future, with my life. Help me not to be afraid. In your holy name, I pray. Amen.